My guest at this time is Victoria Tunsing. She's a former Deputy Assistant Attorney General and a former federal prosecutor. She's now a prominent attorney in private practice here in Washington as a partner in the firm of DeGeneva Tunsing. We've asked her to weigh in on the sudden departure of Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe, as well as the news that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein has authorized surveillance based on the contents of the highly disputed dossier funded by Democrats and put together by retired British agent Christopher Steele. And Victoria, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you.
Well, the left, of course, is hammering Trump over McCabe's departure just a few weeks before his scheduled retirement, saying that Trump's constant criticism forced him out, series of tweets and so forth. On the other side, of course, you've got news that the FBI director, Christopher Wray, finally went to Capitol Hill and saw the FISA memo over the weekend, and that this is what led to today's action. So what's your read of what we know so far?
Well, it's all speculation as to whether it was Wray. I can't imagine it was Trump, because Trump probably wanted him out of there months ago, and that's my reaction. Why now? So little, so late. He was allowed to stay there until he could collect his retirement benefits, and as some of the stories go, with his sick leave, he calculated it up, and he could leave now instead of in March. So I would think that it didn't have anything to do with either Trump or Wray. But why was he oversaw the Hillary Clinton, what do you want to say, pardon, absolving of her of any criminal doing. He oversaw that whole thing and did not recuse himself until 1 week before the election. The deed was already done. He became acting director of the FBI, but before that, when he was still the number two person in the FBI, who oversaw the interrogation of General Flynn? Andrew McCabe. He called Flynn's office and said, the FBI would like to talk to you, and made it appear like the talk was going to be about personnel and background. And instead, the FBI showed up with Peter Strzok and surprised the general with, what did you say to the Russian ambassador?
You mentioned Peter Strzok. Obviously, we've seen some of the text messages. There's a whole lot more to come. But we have some messages of him saying, I believe to his paramour, that they were going to go easy on Hillary Clinton because they feared what type of reprisal they might get, assuming that she won in the 2016 election, which obviously didn't happen. But that was kind of the approach they had going in. As a former prosecutor, what does that tell you?
The fix was in, and there's all kinds of clips of Barack Obama saying, oh, she's going to be treated just like anybody else. Oh, come on, horse feathers. She wasn't treated like anybody else in any way whatsoever. No grand jury immunity to people or involved with her, including two of her lawyers who were then allowed to sit in on the interview, which was not even recorded. I can just go on and on and on about how that investigation was not handled in the appropriate way that I know how investigations should be handled. So, and all this stuff, I mean, I can't believe that the media keeps saying, oh, they had a bias, but everybody has some bias. No, it was an animus. Anytime somebody says, I go to the Walmart and I can smell the Trump backers, that's called animus.
Victoria, obviously it's still under wraps right now, but what do you know, even in general terms, about this memo that either A, could have led to McCabe's dismissal by Director Wray, or what are you looking forward to in this memo to determine just how incendiary it is?
Well, I don't know. I mean, none of the House people have really overpromised. I think they've been pretty reserved in how they've said, you know, I'm not going to talk about it, but it is going to change the landscape, so who knows what it has in it. But as I understand it, it does have Rod Rosenstein's name in it, and in that he approved the wiretapping, or however they were doing the surveillance, of Carter Page. Mm-hmm. And Carter Page is being described as a former official of the Trump campaign, or some words like that. I think you've seen the same thing.
Right.
He was on the periphery. He hardly did anything but attend one meeting in March of 2016. But he was an American citizen traveling to Russia, which is what he did. This is what he did. He has Russia as an interest. Why was he being surveilled in any way whatsoever?
Well, I might have you answer that same question along with this one. What do you make of the report, if it's true, from the memo that Rosenstein based that decision on the dossier?
Well, you know, we don't know. And I mean, I would assume somebody in that position, I know Rod, I would have hoped that he would have looked behind that dossier and gotten some kind of corroborating information rather than just a document by a political adversary. And I would have hoped that he would have asked, what is the basis for this? He probably wasn't calling it a dossier at that time, but, you know, for this document saying all these things. I have signed FISA warrants when I was at the Justice Department. I know how to go behind the facts. So I would have hoped he had done that. You know, it remains to be seen. I'm not going to make any observation on just speculation now.
Sure. No, that makes obvious sense. Victoria, you've also written recently on the president's comment to reporters that he'd be willing to be interviewed by special counsel Bob Mueller, and he even suggested he'd do it under oath. His lawyer, Ty Cobb, and others have dialed that back since that time. You wrote a piece suggesting that would not be wise for the president to do based on what you've seen from this investigation so far, and that ultimately getting a couple of minor facts not in agreement with another witness that you mentioned, Jim Comey, that Mueller would find more favorable could end up being a major, major problem for the president. So detail that a little bit farther. Why do you think that Trump should not do this?
There are a couple of issues. One is I have a horribly difficult time figuring out what the crime is, and nobody has said what the crime is. I do fault Rod Rosenstein for this. He started, he appointed a special counsel based on what should be a counterintelligence investigation, which is not criminal. Counterintelligence is, okay, what are the Chinese doing? What are the Vietnamese doing? What are the Russians doing? And there isn't any crime necessarily. It's spying. It's called, you know, getting foreign intelligence information. Whatever the Russians did to our election should have been investigated that way, not as a criminal prosecution. So by setting up a special counsel to make criminal investigation, Rod really went off the reservation. And he didn't provide any parameters for it. There was no scope limiting in time. So, you know, they go back and they indict Paul Manafort for something that should have been just sent to a U.S. attorney's office and taken care of there, not by the special counsel. It was for financial crimes carried out well before he even worked for Donald Trump and having nothing to do with Russian collusion. So the basis for this, quote unquote, investigation is very problematic for me. And then what happens when you get the special counsel going, and he has no crime, but he wants to interview someone about quote-unquote process, and all of this speculation about whether there was obstruction of justice for Trump just talking with his counsel about whether he could fire Mueller, I would hope a president would say, well, what are my powers? What are my powers regarding this? He doesn't know. He's a New York businessman. And he's used to being in control of things. So he wants to know, what kind of controls do I have? I didn't know that we now had laws over impure thoughts. You know, I was raised Catholic. Sometimes I had to go to the confession and say I had impure thoughts. But I didn't know that it was a crime. And I'd also have to go down to the local FBI and tell them that.
Victoria, just a couple of minutes left in our conversation here. Whether you're looking all the way back at the Clinton email investigation to the ongoing special counsel probe, whatever's in this memo and the ongoing concerns about impartiality at the FBI, in the end, how badly damaged is the credibility and the impartiality of the FBI and the Justice Department, do you think?
Oh, I've never seen it this way. I worked with the FBI, and I'm a great admirer, and there is professionalism as I've worked with them, you know, recently in the last month, at the ground level and at the local level. But the hierarchy came in and took over, and it's just a shame, and because that's affecting their credibility now. And there's a recent poll: 49% of the people think that the FBI is hiding information from Congress. That's not good. the FBI should be wanting to get it out, not hiding it.
When you say the hierarchy, are you talking about Comey and McCabe? Are you talking about Obama and Holder? Who are we talking about here?
Yes.
All the above, okay.
All of those. Well, you know, there is evidence that the overhears and the unmasking went into the White House. And in fact, that was how some people on the new NSC staff, the Trump NSC staff, found those documents. And that's how Devin Nunes was called up to the White House to view documents that he then revealed, and the Democrats went after him for revealing classified information. But the story behind that is that the new Trump administration people found evidence of the Obama White House unmasking the Trump campaign and listening in.
It's a tangled web, but it seems like it's slowly getting untangled here, Victoria. We'll see what happens.
It is, but only a few people in media are willing to talk about it. And thank God for you and others and others of your persuasion.
Thank you, and thank you for helping us understand everything that's being uncovered here. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Okay, bye.
Victoria Tunsing is a former Deputy Assistant Attorney General, a former federal prosecutor, and now a partner in the Washington firm of DeGeneva Tunsing. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.